And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
With the holidays surrounding us, a festive spirit is in the air. And that certainly is the case in many of America's national parks. The spectacular Bracebridge dinner at the Awanee Lodge in Yosemite achieves the penultimate spirit of the season. But there is a wondrous array of activities in national parks across the country. Today, we bring you the flavor of just one. And then, during the Weekly Earth Summit, we continue to cover the statements of those presidential candidates brave enough to talk about the environment. That's all coming up when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Okay, it's winter for many of my listeners here in the States. Storm centers are at work in numerous areas across the country. From the Pacific Northwest, where 4 inches of rain are forecast, then into the northern Rockies and Montana and Idaho, I advise you to go home and hunker down as you're looking at up to 4 feet of snow in the days ahead. And the snow that hit the Great Lakes is now blasting into the Northeast, from Boston to Maine. My friends in Maine can expect up to 2 feet of snow. You know what that means? It's holiday season. And with that come the thousands of parties, events, celebrations, and festivities that within 1 month will all be glad are behind us. It's a busy time, and today we head on out to Colorado, to Bent's Old Fort National Historic Site, to bring you the flavor of just one of the many great family events you can attend in your nearest national park. That's coming up in our second segment. And in just a moment, we hear the second in our weekly Earth Summits reviewing what some of the presidential candidates had to say about global warming and America's energy future. Last week, we heard the complete comments of Congressman Dennis Kucinich. Next week, we hear from John Edwards. And this week, we hear from Senator Hillary Clinton. So now, it's time for the Weekly Earth Summit. Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Earth Summit, the most important 15 minutes on Earth. I'm your host, Sydney Wildsmith. Now, here's the truth as I see it. There is a tidal wave of change occurring on planet Earth right now. As human populations rise, and so too their living standards and expectations and desires for more conveniences, better food, and better homes, as plans to deliver a laptop to every child on Earth are being launched, as the incessant drive to expand the human footprint around the world, we are witnessing one of the most serious challenges to the literal living matrix of life, certainly in our time, and comparable to the climactic shifts that saw the disappearance of whole systems of animals on Earth in the past. This is our time, our children and our children's children, if we could hear them. We'll talk of a time when wild animals ran free, bears and giraffes and gorillas, and when oceans provided food, just as we talk about a time when our parents and our parents' parents traveled regularly with 1-horsepower vehicles. Yes, things change. What is needed now is leadership. And if not that, then some other form of wisdom to replace it. Fast. That is why the debate over global warming and America's future does matter. And that is why we are bringing you the thoughts of the three presidential candidates in their entirety as they addressed an audience in San Francisco recently. Please listen carefully, as words do matter. But perhaps more than words, we must seek out the person who will achieve the daunting task of doing something about this global dilemma. Who matters? So now we bring you uninterrupted Senator Hillary Clinton.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, a lively group. Thank you very much. I am delighted to be here. This is obviously a perfect location for the first ever presidential forum to focus on the climate crisis. And it's especially appropriate because of everything that has been done over the years here in California that demonstrate, I think, conclusively that what has been done here can be built on and can become national policy if we actually have a president who's willing to lead. And so I thank the League of Conservation Voters and the Center for American Progress Action Fund and all of the other organizations who are sponsoring this forum. I want to just make a couple of points, because I know we have, I think, 10 minutes to summarize everything we care about when it comes to climate change. Well, you couldn't have had a better timed but unfortunate coincidence of the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change releasing its fourth and final report today. It describes in the most stark words that have yet been used the abrupt and irreversible consequences of global warming. I therefore have laid out a bold, comprehensive plan to tackle both our energy dependence and the climate crisis, because I think they go hand in hand. The risks of inaction for those who still cling to the outmoded and disgraced view that there is no need for action are abundantly clear. The consequences are so dire that this election has to focus on this issue. We cannot afford to fiddle while the world warms, because we've already seen and we know conclusively what that will do to us. It's not only the impact on our health, the fact that emissions from power plants cause 24,000 premature deaths a year. It's not only that we have a third of childhood asthma cases caused by air pollution and environmental contamination. It's everywhere one looks, including the deeply concerning recent oil spill that impact the Bay Area. So where do we start and what do we do? Well, we know what not to do, and that is what we've seen for the last 7 years, a president who has dodged, denied, and dissembled on the most important global issue that we can directly address and act on. We know what not to do because we are now more dependent on foreign oil than we were on 9/11. We know what not to do because other countries are actually reaping the benefits of inventions and technology that was created here in the United States that we have ceded to them. So it's time for a new beginning. It's time for a president who actually respects climate science instead of trying to muzzle climate scientists. It's time for a president who will lead international negotiations again. And it's time that we bring together a coalition that can actually make a difference. Now, having said all that, I know how hard this will be. You will hear speeches this afternoon from those who will certainly draw tremendous applause and shouts of agreement. But I hope that we're all here today because we're serious about what it is we intend to do together. I spent a week laying out a very detailed energy plan and put forth a set of aggressive goals. I have three major goals. First, to reduce greenhouse gas emissions 80% from the 1990 levels by 2050. Second, to cut foreign oil imports by two-thirds by 2030. And third, to move from a carbon-based economy to an efficient green economy by unleashing a wave of innovation in clean energy and energy efficiency. I believe that the three imperatives for doing that to reach these goals are our security, our environment, and our economy. First, as president, I'll lead a national commitment for energy efficiency, the cheapest, cleanest, fastest way to reduce energy use and carbon emissions. We'll set a goal of reducing electricity demand 20% by 2020. California is a model. Over the past three decades, California has held its electricity use per person flat through practical steps to increase efficiency, while energy demand in the rest of our country grew by 50%. I sometimes talk about this as I'm traveling around the country because I think it's fair for all of you in California to know two things. First, when I speak, as I have now for the last 11 months, to tens of thousands of people, and I say that we will do everything necessary to end our dependence on foreign oil, people cheer. And then I always add, and we will finally, once and for all, attack global warming. People sit there. The case has not yet been made, and I know how hard that is for many of you who are activists and care deeply about this issue, perhaps even to believe, let alone accept. And it is especially important that we figure out ways to enlist the millions and millions of Americans who make billions of decisions every year about how they use energy. That's why what California has done is often used as an example, because I say, well, now let me tell you about a place. It's a place where people have cut their energy usage, where in fact their average per capita use of electricity hasn't increased in 30 years. And people look at me, waiting for me to mention some small country somewhere. And then I say, and it's a place called California. And in fact, efficiency is just the beginning, because as president, I will come up with incentives and encourage every American, every company, every community to do more. You know, that's how America does tackle big problems. We have to enlist everybody. This has to be a problem that everybody feels they have a stake in solving. In World War II, we did it. Following Sputnik, we did it. We have absolutely no reason why we can't do it again. As a government, we have to lead the way. That means setting a market-based cap-and-trade system to determine the cost of carbon pollution and reward companies for cutting their emissions. From the day I take office, as of noon on January 20th, 2009, I will issue an executive order that every new federal building has to be carbon neutral, from design to construction. I have proposed a $50 billion strategic energy fund to double investment in energy research, and you know how we'll pay for it? By taking the tax subsidies away from the oil companies. It's clear they don't need our money to make a high profit. We'll also ask industry to do its part, starting with the automakers. As president, I will raise fuel efficiency standards to 40 miles per gallon by 2020 and 55 by 2030, saving consumers more than $180 billion a year and 4.5 million barrels of oil a day. The private sector will also have to help by leading the innovation race. We're going to set a goal of getting 25% of electricity from wind, solar, geothermal, other renewable sources by 2025. And I think it's very important to start talking about green-collar jobs. Everybody knows about blue-collar jobs and white-collar jobs. We're going to put 5 million Americans to work making America green. When I am president, the U.S. Treasury will issue energy independence bonds dedicated to the Strategic Energy Fund. I'll encourage Americans to reduce their energy use and shrink their carbon footprint and place the savings into these new bonds. During World War II, Americans purchased more than $33 billion in war bonds. We can tap that same patriotism. After 9/11, this president said, go shopping. It was a tragic missed opportunity. As president, I'll say, go green. And I think that Americans will respond. As Vice President Gore often reminds us, political will is a renewable resource. Now, there's more to my plan, a lot more, and I invite you to go to my website, hillaryclinton.com. But here's how I would operationalize it, because you're going to hear about a lot of plans. And it's great that the Democrats are all putting forth plans about how to deal with our twin crises of energy dependence and of global warming. But it takes more than a plan. A plan is just words on a page without the strength and experience to make it a reality. As president, I will create a National Energy Council modeled on the National Economic Council and the National Security Council. There will be a national energy advisor with a direct line to the president to coordinate our efforts and to maintain accountability. This is a model that has worked well for us, and I think it can here. It'll get the government working together instead of having these separate fiefdoms where people don't even talk. I'll act quickly to help develop a new treaty to replace Kyoto, engage in high-level meetings with leaders around the world every 3 months. I've proposed an E8 modeled on the G8 to bring major carbon-emitting nations together. I think it is absolutely essential that America lead. You know, I've observed over my lifetime, you can't be a leader if no one is following. And this president has rendered our leadership practically null and void. I think we can turn this greatest environmental challenge to a great economic opportunity and to restore our leadership in the world, create a new and stronger middle class, reform the government so that it actually works effectively again, and reclaim the future for our children. So if you're ready for change, I am ready to lead. Thank you all very much.
It's time we listen, and listen well. Please feel free to listen to last week's presentation of Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who was one of the three presidential candidates who thought it important enough to speak about the future of the planet. Next week, we bring you the thoughts of John Edwards. Keep paying attention. If you have the opportunity to attend any campaign event, Republican, Democrat, Independent, or Indifferent, please ask for answers about the future of life on Earth. Until next week, this is Sidney Weil-Smith encouraging you to tune in each week for the most important 15 minutes on Earth, here on the Weekly Earth Summit. When we think of change to our land and our people, we need to go no farther than our national parks, where the story lives and is told in so many ways. In just a few minutes, we'll be hearing this week's Nature News and then introduce you to just one of the hundreds of holiday feasts and festivals happening in your national parks this holiday season. That's coming up when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wildside News.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.